Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, a run towards a leap, that is how Minister Eamon Ryan categorised today's Climate Action Plan 2023. The legally binding plan contains commitments to offer renewable energy for every home by 2030, promises to retrofit 500,000 homes, 1 in 3 cars to be electric by 2030, and vastly increase tillage farming within the next 8 years. For more on all of this, we're joined now by Minister for Environment, Eamon Ryan, and you're very welcome, Minister, to the programme this evening. I know it's a busy day for you today. If we take a look at this Climate Action Plan, can you tell us what is, some of it will be very familiar to people, such as, for example, the plan to retrofit 500,000 homes by 2030 and the move towards electric vehicles. What's new in this plan that people will not have heard before?
I think there's 3 significant new developments, and it is designed as part of where we learn and we develop on previous plans, and each year we add additional ambition and additional certainty to what we're doing. There are 3 key further developments of significance, and this is in law. This plan has a real strong position because it's part of our Climate Act that we do this, and we have to meet the budgets, not just in Irish law, but also European law. Firstly, it is a massive scaling up of the development and use of renewable power. We need to stop burning Russian, Saudi Arabian and other fossil fuels. We need to switch instead to further onshore wind, but particularly the development of solar power, some 5 gigawatts power, which would, in a summer day, run our entire country electricity system, and also offshore wind. And in the coming days, within days, we will start the first phase of that transition towards some 7 gigawatts of offshore wind with projects both in the East Coast and one in the West. And then within the lifetime of this government, agree the consenting and auction process and initial delivery of further projects to the South and the West, both floating offshore as well as fixed. And that is the really big, I suppose, development that is happening, that will be delivered, that is very significant in scale, but also gives us security.
Just on that then, I wonder, will it be delivered? Because I know John Riley, who's head of power generation at Bord na Mona, warned a couple of months ago that the government was deluded with its plan for 80% of the state's power to come from renewables by 2030, because he said of the severe lack of investment in the power grid and because of planning delays, he said it's simply not realistic.
Those planning delays are being addressed through the planning reform that the outgoing Attorney General has delivered, but also I would cite Bord na Mona as an example, which has recently got significant additional funding, not just for the development of the, but it is now a very significant restoration of our bogs, but also the development of the new renewable energy. They are developing very significantly, in my mind, very correctly, both onshore wind and also moving into that offshore space, working with international investors. It is happening. Financing is available. Our planning system, which particularly in the maritime area wasn't fit for purpose, has been changed. In the last year, this government has introduced significant changes to make that happen. The second, just to outline the 3 big changes as I see it, in agriculture and forestry and land use, which is critical. And there, the state is moving towards, and listening to the industry, listening to the dairy and beef industry vision, our food vision groups who are looking at this, and say, yes, we diversify. We do not rely just on dairy and beef. We get incomes and new income streams for farming in energy, like some anaerobic digestion and solar power as part of the solar revolution. In forestry, we have a new forestry program which was only launched a number of weeks ago by the Minister Pippa Hackett with the Taoiseach. And that is going to see a significant ramping up of a new type of forestry that restores biodiversity as well as stores carbon, but also diversification into the likes of tillage and organic farming and paying farmers for that, making sure that we don't, as we do that, see the dairy herd or the other sectors increasing in other locations, that we do lock in the reductions in emissions we can get as we switch to organic and as we switch to tillage and as we switch to agroforestry and all these mechanisms that can give income to the family farm, which is the key thing they want to see.
Okay, can you tell me a little bit more about that? Because we were speaking to Sive O'Neill about what you've outlined in agriculture earlier in the programme, and she said it's basically more the same, very low on specifics, no specific policies. For example, she said to reduce nitrogen use, it's all nudge, it's all carrot, there's no stick.
Well, it is in law. We have committed in that diversification element, if I could just focus on that, that there would be a 1.3 million tonne reduction in the emissions coming from agriculture. And that's not insignificant. And we have to deliver that by law. And there are real financial mechanisms behind that. In the afforestation programme I mentioned, there are very significant increases across every sector of forestry in the premiums that farmers get, particularly where it's not that you're stopping farming, but it's that you can put tracts of forest in within the farm that give the farm, first of all, a wood source into the future, that help actually address the water pollution issue, which is hugely significant, particularly in the south and east of the country, but also acts as a storage of carbon. That financing is there. Pippa Hackett delivered it, and that programme is now starting to see massive expansion. The same in organics and in the new environmental schemes where there's been an over-application, where actually the numbers of people applying for the organic schemes and the new acres scheme, which is about environmental protection, is way beyond what anyone expected. Irish farming realises that the Origin Green brand depends on us being green, and getting a premium for our food quality requires us protecting nature at the same time. And I don't have any problem if the message is out there that there's a carrot towards that. Yes, we need that. We need to make sure it's not a blame game, it's not a shame game.
Sure, and I think the farmers listening to that will be very happy to hear that. But when you look at, you know, other measures that are being proposed or mooted in transport, for example, which seem to be, dare I say, it's stronger, there's a little more stick there. People might question that. I'm just wondering, when it comes to the targets, the sector emission target for agriculture of 25%, we know that the EPA told us that in order to achieve even 22% reduction in agricultural emissions, there needed to be a methane reduction of 30%. And the EPA said the sector must clearly set out how this will be achieved to address the uncertainty regarding its ability to deliver by 2030. Is there a clear plan here? Because I'm not sure I see it, to reduce methane by 30% by 2030.
The plan here is to reduce our overall basket of greenhouse gas emissions, and it has to live within the science set out in the Paris Climate Agreement. And yes, that agriculture plays its part. And the modelling and the assessment we've done is our best scientific advice and analysis to show how we do it. We need to go further.
Sorry, Minister, I'll just go back to that question again, though. Is there, in what you have outlined today, are you confident, or where is the plan to reduce methane by 30% by 2030?
That methane 30%, I think what you're referring to was a global pledge which was set out in the COP26 in Glasgow. There are a variety of mechanisms to deliver that. First and foremost will be reduction in methane and fossil fuel use, and it will also require land use reduction. The further development, and each year this evolves, what we have to do next year, not just in relation to the agricultural sector, but the wider land use issue, we've committed, because we didn't have the scientific analysis information, to do that further analysis of and set out a land use plan, which has to first of all be about making sure a prosperous rural Ireland and a young people going into farming and forestry, we want that. But secondly, that it does meet our climate targets in methane as well as in nitrous oxide and carbon dioxide. And thirdly, and this is critical, that it also meets our biodiversity targets. We've just agreed in Montreal last weekend a hugely significant plan that says we have to stop the destruction of nature, the loss of biodiversity.
Okay. And we were so discussing that with Minister Malcolm Noonan on the programme earlier this week. But just maybe a phrase question one more time, and it maybe in a different way. Under the Climate Action Plan published today, how much will methane be reduced by? By what percentage will methane emissions be reduced by 2030?
The critical is the overall basket of greenhouse gas emissions. And in the year that
Do you have a figure for me on methane?
It's 1.3 million tonnes through the diversification measures, which are the additional key development and change in this plan, which is different to previous ones.
And what does 1.3 billion convert to in percentage? What is the percentage methane reduction by 2030 in the plan that you've outlined today?
That percentage I'm going to have to calculate on top of my head in terms of the overall greenhouse gas emissions, 22 million tonnes, 1.3, is about a 5% emission.
5% methane reduction.
No, that's the overall basket of emissions across for that 1.3 million tonnes. And that is made up of a whole variety of measures, including methane and carbon dioxide and nitrous oxide, because it is in our agricultural system, it's complex. it isn't just that there's a single greenhouse gas involved, it does involve all three of those.
Yeah, no, and I do understand that, but you know and I know there's been an awful lot of focus on methane in the last couple of months, in the last couple of years in particular, because it's one of those gases that doesn't last as long in the atmosphere. It's an easy win if we can cut it down. Maybe you could get back to us if you can get us a percentage as to what we will cut methane by, methane specifically by 2030.
I'll divide out what is in our plan is the carbon, the CO2 equivalent. That's what all the figures are based on. I will come back to you dividing that down.
Okay.
But as I said, it's the important one. What the science actually counts and requires is the overall, the greenhouse gas emissions, the overall basket of emissions is the one that has to change.
You wanted to talk to me about the third new thing in the plan?
Third big change is in transport, where we've heeded the major study that was done by the OECD. It was commissioned by the Climate Change Advisory Council. It set out that we have to, first of all, avoid, try and reduce the amount of kilometres driven each year by about 20%. Do that using, for example, the opportunity that comes because remote working is here, and also town centre planning, 15-minute city planning, where we start to reduce the need for overall travel. Because if everyone's in a car and if everyone's commuting every day of the week, and if everyone is driving longer and longer distances because we have a sprawled development model, it doesn't work for everyone. And that is a significant. First is to avoid the need for transport kilometres. And secondly, it's to shift. It's to shift a radical change in public transport and in walking and in cycling so that we get those modes accounting for half of all journeys. Whereas for the last 40 to 50 years, our entire system has been steering us in a different direction towards a more car-dependent system. That is a huge, significant change in the state's transport policy towards a more sustainable system that will work for everyone driving as well as for people on the bus or on walking or on the bike, because the current reliance on private cars in a kind of an ever outward development model just means we all get stuck in traffic.
All right. So one of those measures will include that 70% of rural Ireland will be covered by three bus journeys to the nearest town by 2030. Can you explain to us how you plan on delivering that?
Well, we are delivering it. We started last year, the first of two schemes. The first was in Leitrim, where we integrated the local link bus service with the local health service transport needs. And that saw an immediate huge improvement in both the quality of the health service transport needs, but also the local public transport system. There's an immediate increase in the demand for the service because it was regular, it was frequent, it was reliable. Same down in Kerry, we introduced the first of those new services around Slayhead. And what had been a very infrequent, uncertain journey became something that was reliable and coming on a regular basis. And there was something like a 20-fold increase in the number of passengers using it. What we're doing this year, what we started this year, and we will spread further right across the country, is introduce those, what they're calling Connecting Ireland bus routes. Often using local link services, which have been there for some 30 years, which are real expertise on the ground. Those new services, some 25, if I recall rightly, that we've already introduced this year, are again proving hugely popular. Young people particularly being freed up, being able to get the bus to the match, being able to get the bus to...
So it's at 50% at the moment and it'll get to 70%, you're saying, by 2030?
The opposite. We will go from a system which is currently car-dominated to one which is 50% dominated or 50% share for public transport and active travel. And that, I think, is probably the most challenging, but one of the most important changes we can make because it improves the quality of life forever.
I want to ask you about retrofitting. You're talking about expanding the retrofitting programme, which I think people might raise their eyebrows at, because anybody who's trying, or not anybody, but very many people, I think, who are trying to get their houses retrofitted at the moment are finding delays upon delays upon delays. They can't get the workers, they can't get anyone to do it, they can't get the grants, there's delays all around the place. You're talking about getting 120,000 dwellings to BE or B2 by 2025. I think we only got 1,000 BE or 2 dwellings done by one-stop shops this year, is that right?
Yes, but there are a number of other schemes that can help deliver that. It's not just one-stop shops, and they've only started. Remember, we already have a series of other programmes targeting social housing, targeting warmer home scheme where people are in fuel poverty.
So what's the total number that we delivered this year of BER2 upgrades?
3,000 is the last, remember, I'm calling. But 3, within that,
okay,
there was
so,
also...
Sorry, 20, so, so, sorry, so 3,000 this year and you want to get to 120,000 by 2025?
Yes, and what we're seeing is a huge increase. Firstly, we did a total of 27,000 houses this year. And that expertise and capability, and there was a real shortfall, a real difficulty in getting workers. But that now is starting to be delivered. We set up six training centres. Sorry, the sixth is about to be set up in Finglas. Five already are up in operation to give the skilled trained staff who will actually be able to do this work. We have some 8,000 apprenticeship places that were introduced in the country in the last 2 years in the lifetime of this government that weren't there in the past. They're starting to provide that skilled expertise. And we have what I think by any acknowledgement, the scheme we introduced, or the overall series of schemes we introduced last February, is internationally recognised as best in class in terms of making this happen. Mm. We've up to 80% grants for people. There are about 500,000 homes out there could benefit from this straight away, whereby putting in very simple, very quick and easy to deliver mechanisms, by putting in attic and wall insulation, yeah. You can cut your bills and your heating demand
well,
by
about
25%.
If you can get the workers, as I said, and if you can get the grants, and if you can get the low-cost loans, that scheme isn't up and running yet, is it?
No, that'll be next year. But it is part of a series of measures, including what we know in our climate action plan and what we know in the retrofitting, that we know the budget will increase every year because the money that we get from carbon tax goes into protecting and improving people's homes. And it's targeted at those who are at lowest income. So that does bring social justice with it as
okay.
well.
I just want to ask you finally, Minister, about the green electricity tariffs that you're talking about. Can you explain to me exactly what that will be? Will that be a higher tariff at peak times or a lower tariff at off-peak times?
It'll be a very low tariff at times when the wind is blowing, when we have significant wind resources available to us. That's our biggest advantage. That's where we have comparative advantage. And we're actually one of the leading countries in the world in integrating wind power. We're actually one of the top countries in the world in how you run a system on large amounts of wind power.
And
what we're seeing, because we're very much at the cutting edge of this, we have the highest volume of wind compared to just about any other country. Maybe the Danes are slightly ahead of us. But what we're seeing is that there are many occasions now, some 20% of the time, when for a lot of wind farms, when we don't have the actual, we can't get that power used. We are not being able to deploy it. So by introducing new mechanisms where people get super low tariffs at such times when they know the wind is going to be high, that's one of the ways that we believe we can actually use that power, which would otherwise
okay.
not be
and
used.
And just very finally on that, will everyone have access to that? Are you saying cheaper electricity for everyone by 2025?
What we're seeing is a lot of the supply companies, there's some 13 supply companies that are operating these flexible tariffs already. What they're starting to do is compete on that basis, that those companies which give the most flexibility, which give the lowest price, which give the best incentives, are the one who are going to get the customers. And that's happening. We're starting to see real competition on the ability for people to sell power back okay. to the grid, as well as bringing low prices in a time when the wind power is high. That's one of the elements set out in this plan today.
We have to leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us, Minister Eamon Ryan. Let us know what you think to 51551.